All right, let's open our Bibles to the 10th chapter of Revelation. And as you're turning there, I've been thankful. Such encouragement in the great love to us that's just been pouring forth more and more. And I believe, I know it's just because of it's our Lord. But through this study, so many wonderful events. We've been reading about them, studying them. The unfolding of the times to come. But as the Lord encouraged me, as I've heard many times, growing up in this place, but son, don't miss the best part. Don't miss the best part. Don't miss the love. Don't miss the love between the bridegroom and the bride. And even more precisely, as we've been studying, don't miss the love between the husband and the wife. And it's been quite a beautiful journey. You know, we're to love his appearing, not to love the appearing of events. If you think about that, you know, and that's the truth. So that would be the focus. I'm thankful for however Christ is preached. We know that. Amen. And these are things that are very exciting. The Word of God, even in Revelation as we began, we're to study this and to know the things in this precious Revelation. But at the same time, the thing that we should know from all of that is to love his appearing and to be encouraged in that great love that we have a God, a Savior, the I Am, who loves us so intimate in the detail and in this incredible plan of God, which is about him and also about us with him, praise God. And him for us and us for him. So it's a sweet union there that we have in the Lord. But with that encouragement, I also want to emphasize before we begin a few things. The Lord so graciously in giving us Revelation and giving us truly Paul's gospel to see Revelation. So let's again understand the need and the essential need to hear. And as Brother Paul said, preach no other gospel. And the reason is as we know and learn and understand Paul's gospel, and that is the mystery, the mystery of Jesus and his bride in this day, in this age, and in this church age, that the Lord is going to take out for him a rib portion, and she is going to meet him in the air. That is going to be that first company. We are thankful in Paul's gospel. We understand about that trump, the first trump that sounds in 1 Thessalonians 4, that we would be ready, readied for that voice of the Lord that says, rise up, my fair one, and come away. That thunder of love that will come after us at that time. And in that, of Paul's gospel to understand Revelation, and in Paul's gospel to understand Revelation in accordance with the Old Testament prophecies, we get the arrangement of the ages. By the grace of God, we understand the order of the events. More importantly than even the order of events, but the meaning of the events. Amen? And I'm thankful for all of it, because all of it is very important. And some events with very precise timing that we have been given. Precise timing as, you know, the 1260 days, as Daniel's talked about, that we would have a 3.5 year to the Great Tribulation, and then from there, and then 250 days before the middle of the Tribulation, we know that that's when Satan will be cast out of heaven, and all of these different details within that we receive. But then, I also want to emphasize that yet, as we've witnessed in our study, whether it would be in chapter 6, if you go back and you think about those seals that we were talking about, as each seal was opened up, as you go through the first four seals, you basically go through the entire tribulation, just in a condensed mini form. Broom, there it is. But then you have the fifth seal and the sixth seal that follow after that within the same chapter, and they'll take you back in time within the same chapter of an event that actually has already been spoken all the way through, but it'll take you back within the same chapter back to specific times within that event. And it doesn't just do it there. Okay? And the thing that I'm emphasizing is that, as even as we've studied through the ninth chapter, through the seventh chapter, through the ninth chapter, We've seen the wonderful order of events come forth again. We've had much description. But sometimes I think when we try to impose our will upon things that they have to be this or have to be that, I think we need to be very careful. I think there's so much encouragement. Brothers and sisters, I'm grateful to God. Not that I take it for granted, but I'm thankful to God. I know the order of events. Not because I know anything, but the Bible tells you. And the Bible will give you those things. But as the Bible is expressing these and talking about the order of the events, as you see, and just to give you a little example, it's just like the silence of a half hour. People see that different than our bridal saints. It's okay. It's okay. They're beautiful things to see. We've spoken about how one see differently about the 24 elders and the four living ones. We see them as two separate companies. I'm thankful to God for that. I will preach that because I believe in my heart. That's what I'm encouraged to preach. I understand the interpretation of that from other saints that truly are following Paul as he followed Christ to win Christ Jesus as bridegroom. And I understand that encouragement that they receive in seeing that that is just one company of the two, of the 24 elders and the four living ones. The reason I'm saying this, brothers and sisters, is that I'm not saying that there isn't any right or wrong. No. There is only one interpretation of these things. I get that. But there's different encouragements that you can see. There's different encouragements that you can receive. There's layers in that truth that I thank God that the Lord, I do believe, by his Spirit, reveals and encourages people in. And I guess I would encourage every study of the Word of God. The trees of a forest are very beautiful, incredibly beautiful, but don't miss the forest. Don't miss it. Don't. Events of the times are most beautiful, but don't miss the love story of the ages that's in it, because you could. And I don't want to do that. And I know many sweet Christians that do not see bridal truth, but are just consumed with end times. I mean consumed. And they get together and all their discussion is, you know, who this week is the Antichrist. You know, it's a bizarre world. But I'm thankful that at least that they're thinking of things of God, but yet you understand how that can consume to where you've missed the better part. Very much so in an example I could give you, there was Jesus and Martha was taking a good part, but she was busy about doing, whereas Mary, at the feet of Jesus, chose the better part, the best part of worship. And I believe that that's the encouragement the Lord's really put on my heart for us, is to make sure that as we study through, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm going to give you the encouragements that the Spirit of the Lord will give me to give to you. I would be wrong in not doing that. There are some things that in the ninth chapter that were brought out of the sixth trumpet. I see very well that first woe was that ended in the 12th verse. But going on in the 13th verse and the 14th verse, I believe that there's many things that are foreshadowing and also talking about the events of the wrap-up of the ages in that last part. I believe that there are types and shadows of that as well too. We're going to get into the 10th chapter tonight. The 10th chapter tonight is going to express to us a time, such a glorious time. We're going to see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. And he's going to be wrapping it up. Judgment has come. Okay? But then in the 11th chapter, so we know when that starts to happen, we know that now we've just entered in, at least in time-wise, that would enter into the Great Tribulation time, that the Lord would be bringing forth his judgment in that way. He would be taking that place on the earth in that form, in that fashion, as the God, as God upon the throne. But then, as we get to the 11th chapter, God willing, which will be soon, if the Lord tarry, we're going to go and read about the two witnesses. Well, the two witnesses are going to take us back in time to the very beginning of the tribulation once again. And we're going to continue to do those types of things within the study of Revelation. It's not to confuse us, but it's to encourage us. And I believe it's to encourage us in many different ways. So I'm grateful to the Lord. And I pray that that was something that you'll receive in the way that it's intended, is to rejoice for anyone's encouragement in, yea, the deep things of God. Amen. Now, one final comment before we go on to chapter 10, back in the ninth chapter. And I do want to make mention of this, because sometimes when there might be a somewhat of a confusion, it might not just be with one, or I shouldn't even say confusion. I should say at least a question. Sometimes more than one have it. It's just maybe just the one person had the gumption to raise the hand to ask the question. And what it was pertaining to was back in our study last week of the 13th and 14th verse of the ninth chapter. And I'll go ahead and read that for you. It says, "And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates." Now, last week, when we studied this, I had mentioned what we have here is basically the connection from back in Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. And in 1 through 3, the Lord gave direction to the four angels to hold back the four winds. And we'll go back and read that, but I'm just giving you that for just a moment of remembrance here. But if you go back to chapter 7, it says, "After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the winds," remember this, "that the winds should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor in any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God." This is Jesus. "And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, 'Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads.'" Now think of how the Lord is addressing them again. Isn't this sweet? The Lord, this angel, speaking to the other four. And again, you'll see here, and if you remember back and continue to remember this, this is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ speaking to the bridal saints that are ruling and reigning jointly together with him. And notice in the verse 3, how Jesus is addressing these four angels, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads." There's a working together there. There's a harmony. There's a love. That's a husband and wife that's working together very, very sweetly and encouraging that this part of the tribulation and this event is being done jointly, together, ruling and reigning. Amen? Amen. So then, going back to the ninth chapter, what I had mentioned last week is this is when those four winds are released. This is that same, in a sense, description of the ones that were held back. Now they are released. But here was the question. The question was, wait a second. As it says back there in the ninth chapter, in verse 14, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, "Loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates." If you see how that's, what's changed there, is that the winds that were held back now are referred to as angels. Those aren't the four angels that are working in conjunction with the Lord. Those angels that are spoken of there are bound in Euphrates. Let me tell you something. The Lord doesn't bound his bride. It's a different vision. Now again, this is like I said, seeing the trees. Last week when we went through this, I am confident anybody who's been following in this auditorium as we've gone along had no problem in understanding that we were at the point that the four winds would be released. Amen? Amen. All right. I don't know if I want to ask for a show of hands. We'll get in trouble. But where I'm going with this is that now we'll get into a tree. And this would be, you know, a couple had asked questions on this. I want to make sure we get this. Is that the four winds now are seen by John. Because John, again, is just writing down what he's seen, what he's being revealed. He sees these winds that were being held back by the four angels. He sees them in a type as four angels. Now, let's ask the question, well, wait a second. Why does that change? Why does John now see these four winds in this different view of these four angels? Now, remember in chapter 9, as we studied, Lucifer was called a star. He said he saw a star falling from heaven. Many times in the Word of God, and especially 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. So even John sees these satanic forces here basically as angels. They're deceptive. They're light-like. How do you think at this time in the world you're going to get everybody to go after one? How does the enemy, how does the devil do that? Get that the world would wander after the beast. It's a false light. It's a lie, and it's a great lie. It's a counterfeit so very close in so many ways, but it's not true light. It's a false light. It's just like these angels that we're seeing here. These aren't angels in a sense, the angels of God, but even more so messengers of God, because we know that the angels that we had been speaking of back in chapter 7, those are bridal saints. Here, these angels are the winds. John's just seeing it in a different picture. He's just seeing this in a different type. We're even going to see in chapter 16, we're going to speak of this time when Euphrates is dried up, when these armies come through again. So again, we will repeat the story, repeat the story, repeat the story. So that's why, again, it's good to know and to understand details within the Word of God, but never forget the forest. Don't forget the whole meaning of that. So I pray that that is very, again, a cookie on a shelf. Sometimes I can see ones looking at me a little bit to say, wait a second, I still don't understand. Why are they angels now and they were winds then? That's the vision. That's the vision John was given. I believe the explanation of that very sincerely is you're going to have a false light. It's going to look like light, but it's not light. And we're getting closer and closer to that time when the world is going to just sincerely, completely follow after the beast, when all power is given to that beast, because now we're going to get past that 3.5 year period of time into the Great Tribulation, when the world will be completely saturated with nothing but the image, nothing but the worship, nothing but everything is about the beast. Okay? All right, let's go on to chapter 10. If there's any questions, I'm sure Ty will. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure he'll help you, though, if you have any. I know he will, and I'm sure Scott will as well, too. But I'm just kind of kidding. You call me or you can talk to me anytime. All right, let's go on to verse 10. Now, here again, John, in his vision, is launched forward to the time of judgment. And let's get into this encouragement, because this is the day we're looking for when our Lord and Savior, praise God, is going to be justified and glorified, I should say, glorified in all of the judgment that's to come. All right, chapter 10. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein are, and the earth and the things that are therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice, when I heard from heaven, spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it up. And it was sweet in my mouth, sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. So thank the Lord for this sweet encouragement to John. But as we begin here, in verse 1, this angel, none other than Jesus Christ. Praise God. So here we again see John writing these things down as John can perceive these things. John is writing these things down, not understanding these things, because even John, as it says, as we've read, you know, I don't understand this. And he would been asking these different ones to tell him what he was seeing. And it's happening so quickly that John is writing down, again, encouraged of the Spirit, what he is seeing. Now, this is Jesus Christ. We see that Jesus Christ at this time is clothed with a cloud, a rainbow on his head, his face shining as the sun, and he's got feet as pillars of fire. Now, this is glorious, and let's let the Word of God define what glorious picture we're seeing. Now, we've seen Jesus with this authority thus far already in Revelation. We saw him in chapter 1. We saw him in chapter 4. We saw him in chapter 5. We get visions of when Christ, praise God, is, again, the Lamb. Now it's like we read, those ones said, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Isn't that sweet? I love that. Because I'll tell you what, all judgment's been given to him, and he is going to pour it forth, and here it comes. And this is this time when it begins. So, here again, we see him in this authority, but we have new encouragements. First of all, notice, he comes down from heaven. So, here we have the Lord descending. So, think of this again. When the bride goes, she meets him in the air. Amen? When the different companies are again, raptured into heaven, whether it's the innumerable multitude, and we haven't yet read about the 144,000, even though at this time, by the way, the 144,000 at this time will be caught away with Jesus. All the three companies that will make up the church will be in heaven at this time that Jesus Christ will come back to pour forth this judgment in this fashion. So, this is a sweet encouragement to us again, the faithfulness of God in the order of these ages. But here we have him coming down from heaven, and he's got his feet on the sea and the earth. And we know that he's ready to judge because he's got feet as pillars of fire. We've seen him with feet of brass, and now we're going to see him with pillars of fire as feet. Now, Jesus is carrying forth judgment. And this, as I just mentioned, it assures us that the four living ones, the innumerable multitude, and the 144,000 are gathered with him at this time. And this is very important then in explaining the vision that we're seeing here of him. And notice, he has the little book in his hand. He's been given it all. Well, he is the Word, but here is the Word, and all the judgment has been given to the Word. So, he is clothed with this cloud. And this is a beautiful thing, brothers and sisters, because this cloud speaks of the full overcomer saints that will be with him at this time. We'll see this precious vision again in Revelation chapter 19. You see it in a different way. You see Jesus coming on that white steed, and then you see his saints in glory on the white horses with him. Praise the Lord. See, so you see these different, again, they're just different types and shadows, all of the same glorious encouragement that we're with him. And by the grace of God, again, by the grace of God, we will be jointly ruling and reigning together with him. So, then you have the rainbow about his head. Now you think about the rainbow. The rainbow was there back in the time of Noah. And what was the promise and the significance of the rainbow? That the Lord wouldn't wipe out man from the earth. It wouldn't happen. That wouldn't happen again. And here again, the Word of God tells us, but the Lord shortened those days, there'd be no flesh on the earth. And that's the truth. You know, it's kind of interesting with the timing of different things. And sometimes I just at night kind of flip on the news or an informational channel, and I don't know how many caught last night, but basically they had a special show on one of the news channels of the new, basically, technology that they even have in space. It's fascinating. that they have these kamikaze satellites now, other countries that can grab our satellites and blow them up and do this. And, you know, it truly is the futuristic Star Wars movies and different things that we used to have. They can shoot lasers. I mean, and this is just the stuff they're telling us, the amazement of it all. But even that, believe it or not, that wisdom of man is yet foolishness to God. And that's why I don't even want us to get too far-fetched when we talk about, well, you know, the fire out of their mouth, and it was like brimstone and hail and all. You know what? It just might be brimstone and hail. It might not be drones. It might not be bombs. It might not be. Let me tell you something. The one thing I know it's going to be, it's going to be God. Whatever he uses, it's still going to be God. It's just like God the healer. He might use a dirty Jordan. He might pick up some mud and stick it in your eye. But the healer is the Lord. The one who's going to throw out all this judgment, it's the Lord. So however he's going to do it, it's going to be the Lord. Amen. So this is encouragement to us. So, you know, we can be encouraged in this. And yeah, it's exciting because we're seeing these things come to pass. And we're saying, well, it could be this, but it could be that. But, you know, I've lived my personal life sometimes like that with the Lord. Well, it could be this and could. And sometimes that's the best time. Shut up. Because the way that I always thought never came to pass. It was always the way I didn't see. It was always the way that most time I really didn't want. And God was going to bring it the way that he determined it was going to be. So we can have all of these encouragements and thoughts and things of that nature. But yet, let's just understand, thy will is going to be done. It's going to be done. But how he does it, it's going to be exciting. And we can, again, we can spiritually be encouraged. We can spiritually dream a little bit and all that. But let's not get too far out there. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather let him romanticize about our time together. So that's a good thing. But so this rainbow, again, he's not going to destroy the earth again, just like the flesh upon the earth, just like he did in Noah. As well, this rainbow speaks of mercy. And he will have mercy upon those who will continue on through the end of the tribulation. I love that thought, and I love that encouragement. It's just, you know, I was thinking about this. These things that we're reading and studying right now, and the Lord encouraged my heart, it's just like, you know, you're going to take a trip, and you can study about the trip before you get there and all of that. And he wants us to know these things, and this is important. But I also think this is very important for those believers to be reading by the grace of God when we're gone. Amen? Let me tell you something. The word of the Lord, for those that love the Lord at that time, they're going to want to be reading the word of the Lord. And they're going to want to be encouraged in the word of the Lord. And they're going to want to be encouraged again, if they never did before, to get back in there in Revelation and say, oh my goodness, we're going to be here, but we're not going to be here too long. I don't know, but I believe that, you know what? The Lord says he will never leave us nor forsake us. And the word of the Lord is there. And I believe that that wonderful God of all comfort will comfort his people with what he comforts us with, which is his word. So you think about these things. Maybe there will be ones that never really cared too much about it, of the family of God, didn't want to read about these things. Well, they're sure going to get interested. Amen? Let's be interested now. So that's a good thing. So we see here that in that rainbow that he's going to have mercy. Then it says his face is as the sun. Well, his sun is pure glory. It's pure light. And the beautiful thing about pure glory and pure light, nothing's hid from him. They will try to hide, but they cannot. And then once again, we get back to those feet as pillars of fire. And those feet are going to punish the wicked unbelieving, because judgment has come. It's come, and it's going to be judgment time, and there's not going to be an escape. And notice here about those feet. Did you notice that when we read that? It said that he had his right foot upon the sea, and he had his left foot upon the earth. So this speaks of, again, the on the sea means the Gentiles, and on the earth means the Jew. Jesus is ready to take control of it all. Now, I don't want you to think that, in a sense, the Godhead has control of it all right now. There's nothing out of sorts. But at least for this time and this purpose and this judgment, it's going to be unleashed now upon the earth. And that is the roar of this lion. This is the king of Judah. This is the victory cry. This is glory be to God. And it is going to be a wonderful time, is it not? And I'll tell you what, you know how wonderful it's going to be, those seven thunders? You remember who sings those seven thunders? Those seven angels, hallelujah. That's the bride of Christ. Don't you think you're going to be screaming with him too? I'll tell you, such excitement like you've never known in a body like unto his own glorious body, that this is something we have been waiting for him to be magnified in all of this judgment, all of this time that we've been here on this earth, and we've seen people mock God. We've seen the absolute apostasy just continue to creep forth more and more. We've seen the absolute blasphemy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've seen the absolute just the defamation of everything of the Lord. This is going to be an exciting time. And I look to this time and I glory in this time that by the grace of God, we'll be there with him. And he will be saying these things and he'll be in this lioness roar and we'll be roaring back to him. It's just an incredible time. You ever had that kind of excitement with the one you loved? You know, there's quiet time, but then there's excitement time. And you kind of roar back and forth. And this is this roaring that's going on. And it's very, very exciting. But, in this roaring and in the lightning, as it says in the thunderings, we've seen that all the way through, that these are the four living ones. This is the cherubim. This, again, is his bridal company. But notice here, which is really interesting, right when the seven thunders thundered back, the Lord told John, he said, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and don't write them down. Yeah. John needed to be encouraged. John needed to hear that because he heard it. And that's something I don't need to know because by the grace of God, I'm going to be saying it. Amen? You see? I'm pretty simple, but I can think through that. But I really do believe John needed to be encouraged. There was something that John needed. I don't know. But I've been in stuff like that before. Lord's told me something, not to say anything about it. But it was just for me. I thank the Lord for how personal he is and sweet he is to John. Isn't that something? He didn't forget about him, did he? He said, John, this is important, but let me tell you something. John, I love you. Remember, you're the disciple that the Lord loved. Pretty amazing, isn't it? There's a love story going on there, huh? Let me tell you something. John isn't shortchanged. He may not have this place. Well, I should say not may not. He won't have the place that the bridal company will have because John is going to be ruling on one of the 12 thrones over the 12 tribes. But, what a love story is there too. Amen? So I just like to think about that kind of stuff. And the Lord, why would he say something like that to us? Well, I said something, but I don't want you to know it. Isn't that something? Now, there's not too many places like that in the New Testament for us, is there? Think about Brother Paul when he was taken up into the third heaven. He heard some things and saw some things. And he said, it's not lawful for me to write these things down. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Yeah. But you know what? By the grace of God, I'm learning about those things right now. Those things that Paul saw, I'm getting that. And someday, praise God, we'll talk about it. Hallelujah. So, this is sweet times. Now, in verse 5, this is really sweet. It says, and the angel, and this is Jesus, which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, he lifted up his hand to heaven. Be praised, Father. I love that. See, he just loves his Father. He just is so thankful to God. He's so thankful again for the Father to be praised in all of this. He's thankful that everything that the Father has purposed in him and planned in him, everything that is magnified in me, Father, thank you. Thank you. Do you know that when we get those thank yous to him, that's that same life? That ain't you, that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's that same life that says, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. and it never ends. See, that love and that thankfulness to the Father never ever ends. Your will be done. This speaks again of the beautiful harmony and even the humility. Even though he's very God, a very God, there's a humbleness and a humility of our Lord that is so ravishing. Amen? I don't want to be proud. Praise be to God. And you notice, he says, and he swear unto heaven. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. And this is sweet because you'll see here that swearing to the Father is truly, he's swearing by himself because they're truly one. But it's, again, it's just so humble in everything because we know that without our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, nothing was made. But yet here he is, again, giving praise to his Father, again, for the oneness that they are. And in 6:13, it says, therefore, when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. This is the same thing. He's just swearing by himself. Hallelujah. That greatness of the beauty and all-powerful word of God. And so this oath that he swears by has also got to have a lot of weight to it. So the subject of what he's swearing about has to have a lot of weight to it too. And you'll notice what that subject is at the end of 6. Time shall be no longer. So there'll be time no longer. It's over. Time no longer is the announcement of the midway point of the tribulation. The turning of the week into the great tribulation days. Daniel heard this same call in chapter 12, verse 7. Let's go back over there. I'll show you how Daniel heard the same call. God, again, dealing with Daniel at this time to write these things for us as well, too, to give us other and greater encouragement. Again, this sufficient witness as well, too. And in Daniel chapter 12, verse 7, Daniel writes, and I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, and he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the people of the holy people, scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Now, in that verse, that's the reason that we know that when the Lord raises his hand and swears again unto heaven, we know that this is a time, times, and a half. A time, times, and a half is 3.5 years. We know at that moment we are at the midpoint of the tribulation. We are at that time that we turn from the tribulation into the last 3.5 years, which is called the Great Tribulation. So the nations will be allowed to run wild in the first half of the tribulation. But here, this is what this means. Time is no longer, for he has come to judge, and he has come to avenge his people. Hallelujah. It's over. Wonderful? Don't you feel like sometimes right now you like to say, it's over. It's going to be over. And I'll tell you what, I do. I count those things that be not as though they were. And this is one of them. I'm there, Lord. I'm just going to be patient by the grace of God. But it's going to end. And I thank God that that judgment is going to come forth. All right. Now, getting back to the 10th chapter, now the 7th verse. It says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. So, this is wonderful stuff. This same encouragement was spoken of the prophets in Daniel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah. We're going to read this in Revelation 15. And this is the time when the 7 vials shall be poured forth by the Lord and his bride. This is the announcement of the last 3.5 years, the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. Hallelujah, has come. And it's a beautiful time. And this is what's so exciting is this is what the Lord wants us to participate in with him. See, he wants us to reign with him. Amen? And that's why he tells us in the word of God, if we do not accept and receive the sufferings at this time, we won't reign with him. It says in the word of God, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ if so be that we suffer together with him, that we also might be glorified together with him. Now, the reason that I'm bringing that up is because the last few verses of this chapter, that's exactly what this word of God is. That's exactly what this word of God that is sweeter than the honeycomb to the mouth, but yet is bitter to the stomach. And let's go ahead and think about this little powerful book and the meaning to John and to us. Now notice first, as we read about this, we must take the word of God. It says take it. It's offered to John, but he still has to take it. The word of God is offered to us, but you have to take it. And by the grace of God, I'm thankful for every life here tonight. You're taking it. You said, Lord, I'll go. I'm here to receive from you. I show up the same way. I know the Lord has given us thought and encouragement, but it's going to be a spirit that speaks. I'm going to believe in the word of the Lord that he's going to have his reign. But it has to be taken. The word must be received by us from Jesus Christ. There must be a desire by grace to take it, and we must act upon it. And it is. He's not a respecter of person, is he? In a sense, he said this to every man that's ever been. Take it. Take the word. Take of me. Feed of me. Come on, I would that all men be saved. He's not a respecter of person. For God so loved the world, he gave his son. He did. He gave his only begotten son. He loves the world. But again, we must take upon and act upon what is given. So the word, again, is for one thing. To take and to feed upon. The word is to be fed upon. And matter of fact, it said so perfectly, eat it up. That's a very profound statement. Never forget the words, eat it up. It means to devour it completely. It doesn't mean to say, well, I'll have a bit of this and a bit of that. I don't think I want the whole thing. Oh, yes, eat it up. Devour it completely, like you are ravished by the hunger of it. I believe it was encouraged of David as he said, my heart panteth. Amen? I'm delirious for the word of God. And this is the all truth encouragement of truth and love. This is to get the whole counsel of God. This is the same thing as Brother Paul said, I withheld nothing. He did not withhold a thing. Amen? This is why the Holy Ghost was given, that you would be led into all truth. Eat it up. Devour it all. This is incredible encouragement here. And it will be sweet. It's just like it's always sweet. We gather here to hear the word of God. You hear the word of God in your home. It's always sweet. It's sweet to the mouth. But there's one thing about the word of God. It's always and will be bitter as it's digested and lived and exercised in us. And that's the truth. And that's what happened in verse 10. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. See, he ate the whole thing. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Praise God. See, that's the effectual working of the word of God. He didn't have to make it bitter. It just got bitter, didn't it? And see, what this is speaking of is without sufferings, there will never be any reigning together with him. And it is the word of God in us, alive in us, that brings the sufferings. See, we don't have to go out and try to suffer, do we? From you receiving this word of God tonight, I'm not warning you. I'm just encouraging you. You're going to suffer. You will. You might go out and talk to your Christian friends about this. You're going to suffer. You will. You'll talk. The word of the Lord is encouraged in you. Why do you think they locked John up? Because John had fed upon the word of God. Amen? If he wasn't feeding upon the word of God, they wouldn't have cared. They went after him because he loved the Lord. They went after him not because of John and what he did and who he was. It was because of the word in John. It was the word of the Lord. It was just like the Apostle Paul. They were just so incensed. And then the epitome of it all is Jesus himself. How could anyone in their right mind kill and do what they did, not only to an innocent man, but to the Son of God? If you knew what you were doing, See, it's the Word. It's the Word. And neutral you can't be. But see, here we are, the sufferings for Christ's sake, the suffering of the Word of God. Just like it says in 1 Peter 5:10. I love that little verse there as it says, 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And that's true. It's going to be that way, brothers and sisters. And this is why it was so imperative that the Word of God had to be devoured by John. The Word of God must be devoured by us, because it's the evidence of sufferings in our life. And I'm talking about sufferings for Christ's sake. And this is that encouragement. And see, in eating and feasting upon the Word of God, as this closes up here, it's the only way to have a testimony of the Word. There are a lot of people that will try to have a testimony of godliness because of a bunch of works. But the greatest testimony of godliness is the Word of God. See, Paul wasn't able to do lots of things and build cities and encampments for people and houses and all of these different things. But the one thing that they were incensed with and hated about Paul was the whole counsel of God. They didn't even realize that. But the Lord allowed the enemy to take note of it. Amen. And if you really think about it, Paul said at the end there, all in Asia have forsaken me. So think of the sufferings, as I was saying earlier. You feed upon this. You get excited about it. You learn of it. It becomes your own. And then you go out and visit with others as the Lord gives you opportunity. But yet, you're not met with an embrace. You're met with ridicule. Or get out of here. Or you're a nut. Or all of these different things. It's exactly, in a sense, what Paul was met with. Even more so, we can't have anything to do with you, or we're going to jail too. But see, that wasn't Paul. That was, how much are you in love with the Lord? How much are you in love with truth? You know, who is my brother? Who is my mother? Who's my family? It's them that follow me. It's them that love me, love my word, love my truth. Amen? So, if you really want to have a testimony of the Word of God, a testimony to prophesy, testimony to give the Word of God, by the grace of God, we must feed and eat it up. Amen? All of it. And we thank God for the Holy Ghost to empower us to learn it all. But because of the love knowledge, hallelujah, to even live it all, and always in and through all things. See, this is that encouragement, brothers and sisters. This is bringing back the Holy Ghost once again. Because you can't eat it all up. You can't, again, devour the Word of God without the Holy Ghost. You can't. You will not suffer without the encouragement of the love of God in the Holy Ghost. You'll get to a point where it's a goodly walk. But boy, I'll tell you, when the rubber hits the road, you're going to panic. You're not going to go on, because you've gone on in your goodness. You want this, kind of going right back to Sunday morning. This is for bloody men. This is for warriors, fighters, praise be to God. And we thank the Lord for it. So I appreciate you being encouraged. But see, we had another vision that John was given. Just, you know, we were walking right through the trumpets, but wait a second. God wanted to show John something else, huh? Isn't that kind of like your own life? You're thinking, wow, I'm just on this, and then, oh, we're going to come over here for a while, son. And then we're going to come back over here, and then we're going to get back to this again. And then I got to take you back over here again to see it, because I don't think you received it enough. It's a revelation to your life too, is it not? Praise God. He loves us, doesn't he? And I love to meditate on the Word of God with you. And I'm thankful for his faithfulness to us beyond anything I could ever express. How much he loves us, praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.